Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
We've been taking a kind of an in-depth look at our mission and vision as a church. And who God's called us to be. In the last couple of weeks, we've been unpacking those three words that we have hanging. They're so important to us. We want you to see it every time you come in the building. We want you to see it on everything we do. And they're right back here: reaching, encouraging, discipling. That's our mission. That's what we're here to do as a body of believers. That's what God has called us to do: to reach, encourage, and disciple. That's our mission as Red Life Church. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's our mission." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Our mission is red." Red, reaching, encouraging, and discipling. And last week we talked about encouraging. And this week, as we wrap up our Vision Month series and get that back and fresh in our hearts and spirits as we kind of go into the fall, we're going to talk about the final part of that mission, of what we're here to do. We talked about our vision being a place of freedom and encouragement. In your life, you need vision. Vision is what you want to see. You got to have a vision in an idea in your mind of what God has placed in your heart, of what you want to see happen with your life, with your kids, with your job, with your business, with whatever it is that God has placed in front of you to do. Amen? I need to have a vision of what that should look like. We want this to be a place of freedom and encouragement. Amen? Mission is what we do. What am I here to do? What is my purpose? What should be happening as a result of me seeing my vision? And our vision is to reach, encourage, and disciple. Amen? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You can follow along with me on YouVersion. If you remember how to do that, go to your YouVersion app, your Bible app, and check out events in your event tab. Okay? And you can follow right along with it. Your scriptures will be there. They'll also be on the screen. And, of course, you can turn anytime. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I've been reading out of the New Living Translation and preaching out of the New Living Translation, if that matters to you at all. If you want to follow along with what you'll see here, that's fine. If you want another translation, that's cool too. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore go." Everyone say go. "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Everyone say, "Make disciples." That is our mission. That is, reaching, encouraging, and discipling, that's really not just something we thought up. We kind of put our own words to it, but we really got that right out of the Bible. Amen? This is the great thing about being a follower of Jesus. Listen to me close. The great thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that you don't have to sit in front of a dry erase board and brainstorm a bunch of ideas about what your vision and mission is supposed to be, because Jesus has already given us a great vision and a great mission right in His Word. Amen? And our mission, the mission of the great of every church, should be to reach, encourage, and disciple. And the end game should be discipling. Amen? Now, we have to reach people before we can disciple them. I cannot disciple what I cannot reach. Amen? And often before anyone's going to be discipled and reached, they're going to have to be encouraged. Amen? But the end game of everything that we do, of every worship service, of every life group, of every ministry, of every outreach, of every advertisement, of every card that we print, of every yard sign that we put up, of every time we invite someone to church, of every Facebook post, of everything I ask you to share on social media, all of those things, every person we invite to church, all of those things boil down to this one word: making disciples. That's two words, I guess. But one idea of discipleship. Everyone say discipleship. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. I ask you to speak to us today. God, I pray that you will just let your word come alive in us, Lord. I pray, God, that we will go beyond just seeing some cute, funny details, God, but that we will actually have an encounter with you through your word, because God, you are the God of this word. And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would awaken every heart, awaken every soul, awaken every mind to be open, to be alert, to be receptive, and to be ready to hear what you have to say to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you haven't had a chance to meet my youngest, this is Luca Max, Luca Maximus. Everyone say, "What's up, Luca Maximus?" Now, Luca is 11 months old. He just turned 11 months old this week. All of our kids have been really late walkers. Like they all walked not until they were like 16 or 17 months old. But this is the boy genius or something, or his name Maximus has taken root in his soul. Because I want to show you guys something. This is really cool. This is not just me bragging on my kid. This is going to tie in just a moment. Watch what he can do at 11 months old. We never had a kid that can do this. Come here, buddy. Come here, Lucas. Show him. He's like, okay, He can stand too. He's really good at standing. There you go. That's my man. Good job, big boy. Yeah, that was awesome. Now, I don't have any explanation as to why he's walking 6 or 7 months before any of our other kids. Do I know there are lots of kids that walk? Kelp, my sister or my niece, her, Noah, what, how old was she when she was walking? 10 or 11 months walking around. That was like bizarre to us. Like, and I, to be quite honest, I have been very unprepared for a walker. I was unprepared for another baby, to be quite honest with you, but extremely unprepared for another walker, because there's literally nothing that he cannot get into now. If it's a foot off the ground, it's his. You know what I'm saying? The funniest thing is Micah is obsessed with playing Xbox, and he'll be playing Xbox. Well, we have the Xbox right at Luca's eye level, and if you know, Xbox has, when you turn it on, it has this little glowing, flashing power light, right? And it's white, and it's like when he sees that, it's like a fly being drawn to a light, and he just goes right to it, and Mike will be in the middle of a game, and he'll hit that button, and it's just touch sensitive. You just have to touch it, and it turns off. It'll turn it like 150 times a day. He'll turn the Xbox off on Micah. Micah's like, no, stop. And so I don't know why a couple of theories I have is this. One, he's 7 years younger than our youngest kid, so he has seen 5 other people in his house do nothing but walk from day one. So maybe that's something in there, him watching that all the time, right? Maybe has encouraged him to try to walk earlier. He wants to keep up with his brothers and sisters. The other thing is this, he has two older sisters who both kind of think they're mom, especially Michaela does a real good job at being mommy as the oldest sister, and Olivia once in a while she has to. But he's had a lot of help. Come on, buddy, let's take a walk. He's had a lot of help walking. If Luann and me aren't holding his hand to walk, then he has Michaela or Olivia, Micah, maybe once in a while. Yeah, you're doing good, Bubba. And so maybe that's helped him walk a little bit. But here's the reality. Here's the simple definition of what we're talking about when we say discipleship. Discipleship is simply helping other people learn to walk their faith in Christ. Amen? And when you first experience Jesus and first get saved, man, it's awesome. But in a lot of areas, in a lot of ways, you just want to sit now, don't you? Help me out just for 2 more seconds, big dog. All right? In a lot of ways, you're just like this. You're just kind of a teetering. Oh, there you go. And you might fall down a little bit, and you're out of balance, and everything feels weird. All right, come here. And everything feels funny. But you need somebody sometimes to grab your hand and help you walk. Amen? And that's here. That's our job. That is what discipleship looks like. It's helping people walk with Jesus. Amen? And that's what we've been called to do. We've been called, as other believers who are already walking this walk of faith, we've been called to grab the hands of other people who maybe aren't learning to walk yet and help them learn to walk. That is discipleship. That is the job of the church. That is part of our mission as Red Life Church. Amen? It's the end goal of everything we do. Now, let's talk about disciples. What is a disciple? What makes a disciple? What is the definition of a disciple, specifically of Jesus? Now, in the Greek culture, every teacher had disciples, okay? Every philosopher, Socrates, had disciples. They say that Plato was a disciple of Socrates, and Plato had disciples under him, and the wisdom and the knowledge would pass on. So this is a very common thing as a teacher in this culture, to have a group of people that would follow you. Now, in this Greek culture that Jesus arrives in, to be a disciple meant to do more than just learn some knowledge. But as a disciple of someone, you actually wanted to, your goal was not just to hear what they had to say and learn some facts about them. You actually wanted to follow them and emulate their character, their life, their nature, and in fact, become just like them. That was the nature of a disciple. Amen? And so when Jesus says, go and make disciples, and when he calls the 12 men that followed him all over the place for 3.5 years, his disciples, he was saying to them, you are to follow me and be like me. Amen? So understand this right off the bat, guys. Listen to me close. As a disciple, my number one goal is not necessarily to learn some facts about Jesus. My goal is to learn to be like Jesus. Amen? Because it's one thing to learn some knowledge. It's another thing to have that knowledge begin to influence the way that I live and the way that I talk and the choices that I make and the way that I think and the way that I speak. And so my goal as a disciple is to go beyond just learning about Jesus and actually learning to be like him. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, being a disciple is being like Jesus. You know, we have six core values, and over the course of these last 3 weeks, I've worked a couple of these values in, and we're going to look at our last two. But one of our other core values that makes up the DNA of our church, of Red Life Church, of what we want to be about and how we want to go about our business, one of our core values is this. We do not want to just have church. We want to be the church. Amen? Amen? Too many times, and for far too long, we have been satisfied to just attend church and quote-unquote have church, but we have not really learned how to be the church a lot of times. We know how to come in and sing the songs. We know how to clap. We know when to come forward. We know when to cry. We know when to give. We know when to amen. We even know when to slap our neighbor upside the head when the preacher tells us. We know how to have church. But unfortunately, too many times, that's where it ends for us. Sunday morning, 12:05, time to eat. Church is done for the week. We'll see you next time. When the reality is that God has not called us to have church. He's called you and I to be church. We are to be the church everywhere we go. That means Monday morning when you show up in your office, guess what? The church showed up there because you are the church wherever you go. Come on, somebody. Amen. Thursday afternoon, When you are going to visit someone and maybe someone in your family member is sick and they're in the hospital and they need prayer, guess what? When you showed up, the church showed up because you are the church everywhere you go. Amen? When you see somebody in need and the Lord leads you and prompts you to help them and to bless them, you are the church. And when you get there, you are the church. Amen? And we need to be better at being the church and not just having church. And we want to be known, and listen, Christianity and being a disciple and following Jesus is much less about learning as much as it is about being. Christianity is a state of being. Christianity is not following Jesus is not just a set of rules that I follow or a set of guidelines that dictate my life or a set of creeds that I memorize or a couple of scriptures that I know, but following Jesus is who I am. It identifies me and it works all the way to my core of who I am as a person. Amen? So being a disciple is not about learning some stuff. It's not about doing some stuff, but it's about being someone, being a follower of Jesus and ultimately learning to be like Jesus. Amen? Another definition of discipleship would be this. It's simply to help you take your next step. To help someone take another step. We want to create an atmosphere where you are encouraged to take your next step. Amen? If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, you're not following Jesus, then guess what? Your very next step is not to give $1 million to the church. Oh, that'd be great if God leads you to do that. That's cool. Just put all the zeros, six zeros in that, all right? That's what God leads you to do. Amen? Your next step, listen, if you're here, you don't know Jesus, listen, your next step is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and begin to follow him every day as he shows you how. Amen? If you've been following Jesus for a while, maybe you've never really given financially, you've never really allowed the principle of the tithe and sowing and reaping to be a part of your life, then your next step may be to begin to trust God with your finances and begin to give as Scripture encourages us to do. Amen? Maybe you're in this place and you've been coming to church a long time and serving Jesus a long time, but you've never been in a life group. You've never really got into a small group where you can really connect with other people and have them connect with you. That may be your next step. Maybe you're in this place today and you've never invited someone to church or told someone about Jesus. That may be your next step. We want you to take your next step. Amen? Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you've accepted Jesus and you know you're on your way to heaven, but man, you've never really engaged in worship. You just kind of sat back and kind of watched the team and looked at other people and been blessed by other people worshiping. Man, that's cool. That's great. That's awesome. But I would encourage you to take the next step of engaging. Sing along. That's why we have those words on the screen so you can sing along with us. Maybe you've never raised your hands. Take your next step of raising your hands. Amen? And the next step, you may not be able to be like this. You may just be just like this. That may be the next step. That's cool. Take the next step. Amen? And let me just say this. No matter how long you've been a believer, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, maybe even just in worship today, without any prompting, you just said in your heart, man, I'm gonna follow Jesus again. I'm going to trust God with my life again. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're for the very first time been in church in a very long time and are just coming back into the things of God or even have never experienced God and are just getting involved in this because whatever is drawing you to Him, you know Jesus has something for your life. Listen. Or whether you've been serving God for 20, 30, 40 years. I've been a serious follower of Jesus. No turning back. You know, I'm not saying I've been perfect, but I've been following Jesus now for about 20, 21, 22 odd years of my life. And let me tell you, and I know some of you have been following Jesus for even longer than that here. Listen, can I tell you something? No matter how long you've been, listen, there's always a next step. There's always a next step. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 24, Moses is at the end of his life. He is about to turn over the reins of leading Israel to Joshua. And the Bible says that, now Moses, if you know about Moses, Moses saw some stuff now. In fact, the Bible, God says of Moses in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, that there was never a man like Moses whom God spoke to face as a man does to a friend. Moses was the only person. In fact, there's a story in the book of Exodus around chapter 33 where the Bible says that Moses actually saw God. Not his face, but the Bible said that he saw God said, Moses, I'm gonna hide you in the cleft of this mountain and I'm going to pass by you in my physical form, my glorious form. And he said, you can't see my face. He said, because if you see my face, you'll die because you're only a man. You can't handle that in your sinful state. He said, but I'm going to pass by you. And if you look, you're going to see my hindsight. You're going to see the backside of me. And the Bible says that happened. And Moses peeked around the corner and saw God, saw the backside of God. So Moses saw some stuff. Moses was looking at the Red Sea with the people of Israel behind him and Pharaoh and his army is closing in on him, the sea in front of him, Pharaoh and his army behind him. And the Bible says that Moses held his staff over the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted and the people of Israel walked through on dry ground. The Bible says Moses hit a rock and water came out of a rock and the people of Israel were delivered with thirst. Moses saw some stuff in his life. I could spend the rest of this time together for an hour talking about all the miracles and the miraculous and the crazy things that happened with Moses' life. But even with all the things that Moses saw, listen to me, in Deuteronomy 3:24, at the end of his life, as Moses is wrapping it up and kind of giving a final summation to the Israelite nation, he says this amazing thing. As he realizes his end is near in Deuteronomy 3:24, he says, "Oh Lord, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness." Now if Moses, with all the things that he saw and all the things he experienced, the 10 plagues of Egypt, the Passover night, all of the things that Moses saw, the Red Sea, seeing God himself in his physical form, if Moses would say, "God, you have only begun to show me your glory," friend, can I tell you something? You and I still have another step we can take. Amen? No matter how far along I am in the journey and in the walk, there's always another step. Amen? And in Luke chapter 24, I think gives us some keys and some principles and some things that are involved when we are ready to take some things that have to, some elements, if you will, that need to be present in our life when we take our next steps and in our walk. Amen? And in the Luke chapter 24, this is the end of the story of the gospel story for Luke, of what Luke shares. Jesus has already been crucified. He's been resurrected, and the disciples are very confused. They don't really know what's going on. They're still not sure if this is the Messiah or what. And Jesus is kind of showing himself to a few disciples just in a few moments at a time. And so after all this is played out, in Luke, I'm not going to read the whole story because it's a lot, but in Luke 24:13 through 32, we're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to look at a few scriptures there. Basically what happens is it says these two disciples are walking along the road to some town called Emmaus, and the Bible says they're walking along, they're talking about all the things they had seen over the last few years, in the last few days especially, with Jesus' crucifixion. They're discussing all these things, and the Bible says all of a sudden Jesus just appears between them. And he walks with them. But the Bible says that they didn't recognize that it was Jesus a dude just shows up out of nowhere, out of thin air, and you don't recognize who it is. Okay. Anyway, the Bible says they walk along the road to Emmaus, which is a couple hour, 2 or 3, 4 hour walk. They're walking along, and the Bible says they're talking about all the stuff that had happened around Jesus' life. And as they're walking, Jesus begins to teach them about all the things from Scripture. And all of a sudden, they get to the guy's house, they have dinner together, and the Bible says all of a sudden, they still don't recognize who it is, but Jesus grabs the bread and breaks it just like he did at the Last Supper. And at that moment, the Bible says their eyes were open, and they realized that it was Jesus. And as soon as they realized that it was Jesus, he was gone. And it's just, and it's really cool. And I really think in that is really a beautiful picture of what our walk with God is like. Because just a few hours earlier, Jesus was there. He was healing people, teaching them, raising the dead, casting out devils, doing all the cool Jesus-y stuff that only Jesus the King can do, right? And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And they're left to walk alone, right? Sunday morning is awesome. Man, I feel God's presence. Man, I'm singing the song, the resurrected King. I'm crying, he's resurrecting me. Oh, this is so wonderful. Then all of a sudden, Monday morning hits. The band's not there. The preacher's not there. My family of faith is not there. And I'm just kind of left to walk alone. Right? That's what's going on here. They're walking along the road, and that's so much what our life looks like. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. So let's look at some of the elements that we need that are present here that we need as we walk along. Amen? The first thing is this. Notice that they were walking together. It wasn't one person alone. It was people walking together. I told you you're going to hear about life groups again. Listen, here it is. This walk of faith is designed. God intentionally designed it for you to walk it out with someone else. Amen? God himself said all the way back in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. You cannot live out your Christian life in isolation. You will get eaten up. And if you don't get eaten up by life alone, what will happen is you will become prideful and arrogant and puffed up because you will never have anybody to check you or call you out when you're acting a fool. Both are no good. Amen? When I live life and do my walk with God in relationship with other people and have other people in my life that can hold me accountable, that can help speak into my life, all kinds of great things happen. Amen? And the Bible says they were walking together. You were designed, your faith is designed to be walked out together. Amen? Here at Red Life, we do that in life groups. We do that in church settings. That's why, listen, I don't want to beat you up. I don't understand things happen, you miss, and you get sick, and you got family functions. But man, when you just are away from church for weeks and weeks on end, friend, I know you're still going to heaven, but I'm telling you, you're missing out on a chance to grow. A chance to get together, connect with other people who are walking the same walk you are. Amen? We're designed to walk this thing together. And the Bible says that as they're walking together, this is what life groups is. They're walking together and they're talking about all the things that just happened. That's exactly what life groups is. Life groups is we come together intentionally and we talk about what God is doing in our lives, how what's going on Sunday morning is affecting our lives throughout the rest of the week, how we can apply what we're talking about on Sunday to our life on Monday. Amen? It's awesome. And this is what happens here. And then this is this amazing thing. Let me just talk about this real quick. If Jesus is a part of your life, and if he's a big part of your life, let me just say this. Whatever you talk about is going to be what your life is about. Amen? Look, you don't have to be around me for real long. If you've come here for more than 1 or 2 weeks, you're probably going to find out that my life really revolves around three things. It's my family, it's Jesus and church, and lifting weights. Now that is either oh me or amen, or you can think that's sad and pathetic, that's whatever. It is what it is. Okay? And if you spend any time around me at all, you're going to find that out real quick because that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about what God's doing at church. I'm going to talk about crazy stuff my family's doing. I'm going to talk about crazy things my wife is doing. She's going to talk about crazy things that I'm making her crazy with. And then you're going to find out that I went to the gym and lifted weights, and that's why I'm walking funny, because my back is sore, because I lifted too much, or whatever. This is what I'm about. Whatever you're about, you're going to talk about. Amen? And so we come together in life groups and we talk about our life being about Jesus. And that's what happens. These guys are talking about what their life's about. And this is what's amazing. As they're talking, the next element that we need relationship, we need to do life together. The next thing happens, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up as they're talking about him. So, some of you that have been to life group have experienced this. There's moments that happen where all of a sudden you're talking, you're chatting, you're maybe cutting up, you're goofing off, and then all of a sudden as you begin to talk about what God's doing, it's like the Holy Spirit just fills the room. How many of you experienced that in life group before? Like, man, it's like, man, now we're like talking on another level. It feels like God's in the room with us, and we're really getting it. Isn't that awesome? And that's what happens here. And you know what the next element you need for your next step is this. We need the presence of God. We need the presence of Jesus for every next step we take. Amen. Let me go back to Moses. You know what Moses said? Moses said to God, he was upset with Israel because Israel was stubborn and they wouldn't listen. And God just said, you know what? You just lead them, Moses. I'm out. And Moses said, God, don't take your spirit from us. He said, we're not going to go anywhere that you're not. Amen. Listen, we cannot go anywhere that he's not. Amen. We need the presence of God in our life, in our church, and in everything that we do to take our next step. And listen, where is the presence of Jesus found? Well, to me, it looks like he shows up when he's talked about. Amen? You begin to talk about Jesus. You begin to glorify Jesus. You begin to lift him up. You begin to work him into your daily life. You begin to talk to him. Guess what? He'll show up there. Amen? He shows up when he's mentioned. And we need his presence for the walk. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need his presence for the walk. We can't do this walk without his presence, church. Amen? We can't be who God's called us to be individually without his presence. We can't be the church that God has ordained us to be without his presence. Amen? Without that feeling of, man, there's something more going on here that I can put my finger on. Amen? That without that feeling of, man, there's something beyond myself here. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. Amen. We don't need another light show. We don't need better musicians. We need more of the presence of God. Amen. We need more of the presence of God. Because here's the thing. The presence of God is the one thing that we have as the church that the world cannot duplicate. You can find other places to connect in the world. You can join the American Legion or the Lions Club or the KFC or whatever other group. You can find other places to connect. They're not going to be, you know, if you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus and a disciple, it's not going to be a deepest connection, and it won't be as good a connection as you're going to find in a life group and inside of the church family. But you can connect to other places in the world. You can join other clubs and organizations. You can find it through sports. You can find it through pro. You can find it through all kinds of things. Okay? You can find good music to listen to. You can find inspirational, uplifting, positive music that'll lift your soul. Amen? But you can't find the presence of God there. We have the presence of, we have access to heaven through Jesus Christ. And we've got to access that more and more and more. Amen? The presence of God. We need the presence for the walk. And then the next thing happens. So they were walking together. We need relationships. That's an element of our next steps. We need the presence of Jesus for our next steps. The next thing that happened, the Bible says in verse 27 that Jesus begins to teach them the Bible. Listen, if I'm going to take a next step, it better be based on the Word of God. Amen? If I'm going to look for my next step in my walk with God, if I'm going to become a disciple, I'm going to need the Word of God in my life to help me do that. Amen? Now, let me just talk about a few things specifically here to Red Life about how we're going to accomplish this and how we're going to do that, because we're going to make some changes this year. We're not changing life group. That's foundational to who we are and what God's called us to do. That's something that God has impressed in my soul. I don't see that ever changing. We may change how we do it, but we're going to keep that as a major part of this journey because it's so important. So first and third Wednesday, life group. Now, what we've done in the past for the last year or two was we have what we call refuel night on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month, and that was a time to come together, and we have two or three classes that we could go to. Listen, we just our leadership team and our elders, we prayed about it and talked about it. We just felt like that may not be the most effective avenue to give you a time to teach and get taught the Word of God. Now, listen to me. What we do here on Sunday morning is typically designed to reach a large audience, right? This is your time to invite people who don't go to church, who don't know Jesus. And we want to reach them here, amen? But if you're going to take your next step, you may need some more in-depth teaching on some specific subjects, right? And so we want to offer that. We have to offer that because listen, let me just say it this way. I promise you, you're not going to get all the equipment that you need on a hour and a half Sunday morning service for your journey. Amen. For the things that God's called you to do, you may have to take some intentional time to get some training and to learn some deeper things in the Word and to learn some deeper things and some specific topics so that God can bring freedom to areas of your life that we just simply don't have time to explore all the avenues here on a Sunday morning when we're talking to 130, 140 people, 200 people by Easter. Amen? And so we need some class time. And so, but we thought refuel is maybe not the best way to do that. And so here's what we're going to start this year. And for our first one is going to be November. There are two avenues that this is going to happen. Beginning next month, I'll announce when, but we're going to have a basically call it Red Life 101, 201, 301, and 401. And with 101, we're going to teach about some basic principles about salvation. What does it mean to be saved? What is it? How do you read your Bible? Just some real simple things. One class. We're going to do it on Sunday morning. We're going to have breakfast available. And it's going to be on probably the second or the third Sunday morning of the month. And we're just going to rotate that all the way through. And it's going to be the next step that you need to take after you give your life to the Lord. Amen? Or after you've been involved and you want to become a little more deeper involved in where you want to go, how do I want to serve, this is going to help you. 201. We're going to talk about specific things about Red Life Church, what we are, who God's called us to be, why are we here, how did we get here, what is our vision, what is our mission. A lot of the things we've been talking about the last 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to deal with in one session there. Because it's really important as we grow and as you reach people and as God allows us to reach people, we're going to have to get everybody on the same page, amen, of who God's called us to be so we can continue to reach more. Amen? So that's 201. 301 and 401, we're going to begin to talk about how you can, we're going to do gift discovery, how you can discover your gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, and how you can use those for the glory of God, not only in a church setting, but just in your life. What has God called you to do? When it helps you discover your purpose and find something more meaningful than just showing up and sitting on a seat. Amen? And that's going to be rotating around, it's going to start next month. We'll let you know exactly when. Amen? That's one area, okay? Now, the other thing we're going to do is we're going to start having two a year. We're going to call them encounter weekends. In Refuel, we would take six sessions and have a class that would be broken down over six sessions, which would take 12 weeks because we're only meeting twice a month. And it just seemed to get kind of wearisome in the middle of that. We're like, this is too much. So we're going to kind of combine all that into one weekend, a Friday night and then a Saturday morning through the afternoon, where we're going to talk about specific issues. Amen? Now listen, the first one's coming up on the first weekend of November. We're going to have an encounter weekend, and we're going to call it Encounter Weekend, the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a weekend where we delve deep into who is the Holy Spirit? How does he operate in our lives? What does that mean? How does that activate? What does that look like in my life? It's going to be November, I believe the 4th and the 5th, I believe is the date. It's the first weekend of November, if the numbers are wrong. Amen? And we'll have another one. We'll have one in the fall and one in the spring. So instead of doing Refuel all throughout the year, we're going to have just a couple of weekends where we're going to ask who, if that's where you're at and you want more information on that, we're going to come together and just let the Holy Spirit move. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're doing. Now, let me say something, to give you something else that's really exciting to help us in this teaching the Word of God type atmosphere and type setting. We have all summer long been searching and praying intentionally. We've been praying about it for a couple of years now. And waiting to get to where we felt like we could do this. But all so long, we've been looking at this. And this week, I finally made an offer. I believe God has brought the right people in. We have hired youth pastors that are going to be moving here next month, this month in September. We'll have youth pastors here. Amen? They're going to be full-time. It's going to be awesome. God, listen, I can't even tell you, miraculously, within a couple of days of us making this decision and them accepting what we're going to be able to do, we already found an apartment for them to live in right here in town. It's going to be awesome. Their names are Zach and Leah Gibson, they're from Michigan. You guys are going to love them, man. They're going to fit right in with the Red Life family and part of what God's called us to do. Amen? So what is that going to mean? That means that we are going to begin to minister to teenagers and students like you can't believe. That means I believe that we're going to see a revival break out in Franklin County High School and Brookville Middle School. Amen? And that's all part of getting taught the Word of God. Amen? It's going to be awesome. So you guys be praying for that. And that's been one of our big next steps that we've been waiting to do as a church for a long time, and I'm super excited. Now, this thing happens, so we need relationship, we need people to walk with us, we need the presence of God to walk with us, we need the Bible to walk with us on our next steps. And then here's what happens. They get to this is so funny, this is so like God, and you've seen this happen in your life. How many have seen this happen in your life? Listen, they get to this dinner, Jesus, this whole time they don't recognize that it's Jesus. They get to this dinner, Jesus breaks apart the bread, and all of a sudden their eyes are open, they realize, oh, it's Jesus, awesome. And then he vanishes. How many have experienced in your life that just about the moment you think you've got God pegged, he moves? Just about the time you finally see what God is all about, he shifts. And he's gone. You're like, you were just there, right? Like, I mean, man, like, for instance, maybe sometimes it's like on a song. Like, there's a song that is like, man, this the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Every time you hear that song on the radio, man, the heavens just open and the Holy Spirit just pours out his presence. And it's just amazing. And then all of a sudden one day, you turn that song on and nothing, right? I've experienced that playing. I'll tell you right now, I've experienced that playing keys before where 2 weeks ago we did a song and it was awesome and everybody was into it. Whoa, man, the presence of God is here. And then there, the very next Sunday, we'll play the same song the same way. Nothing changed at all. And it's like, no, you're supposed to unmute this when I start hitting it like this. Sorry. It's like, what happened? You know what I mean? Because it... It moves. He changes. He shifts. He's fluid. He's not going to allow us. See, this is what happens sometimes. We want to. You ever, as a kid, did you remember going out and anybody catch lightning bugs when you were a kid? And maybe you have like a mason jar and you sack and you put some grass. How many of you take sticks and grass and like make a little environment for them, and then you run around in the backyard catching lightning bugs or fireflies, whatever you call them? That's what we want to do to God. We want to capture him in a mason jar and be like, okay, I've got you. But God is too big to be captured in any one of our experiences. Amen? And the moment I think, gotcha, God says, nope, I'm over here. That's what he does to the disciples. Amen? He just disappears the moment they think they see him. Listen to me. If you haven't heard anything, get this. Listen to me. Listen. Being a disciple, listen, this is so good. Not just because I'm saying it. It's just powerful. Being a disciple is getting up every day, seeing where Jesus is, and following him there. That is discipleship. That is being a disciple. Getting up every morning and saying, God, what do you have for me today? Lord, where are you speaking today? What area of my life do you want to speak today? And wherever you see him, you follow him there. Amen? Another one of our values that we want, that is part of who we are, and I pray it's a part of who you are as well in your walk, is this. Not only do we want to be the church instead of have the church, instead of have church, we want to be spirit-sensitive, spirit-led, and spirit-empowered. I've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life. I've got to be sensitive to the fact that what God spoke to me yesterday, he may not be speaking today. Amen? God might open up a window for me to obey in one moment. It could be an area of giving. It could be an area of witnessing to someone. It could be an area of praying for someone. But there may be a small window of opportunity that God opens. And I need to be sensitive to that. And not only do I need to be sensitive to that, I need to allow him to lead me into that moment. Amen? And that's why discipleship, being a disciple, is waking up every day and getting our hearts and our spirit and the ears of our spirit in tune and open to say, Lord, where are you at today? If you're not at the supper table today, where are you at? I'm going to follow you wherever you are. That's being spirit sensitive and then being spirit led. And then listen to me, as I allow myself to be led by the Spirit, what I discover is that he empowers me to walk wherever he leads. Amen? If I want the grace of God in my life, if I want the power of God in my life, if I want more of the Holy Spirit of God to work in my life, then I've got to allow him, I've got to not only be sensitive to where he is, I've got to allow him to lead my life there, and what I discover is that he'll empower me to follow wherever he leads. Amen? I wake up most days, listen, feeling completely inept to do what God has called me to do. I really do. I'm the last person that I would ever choose to do this. I really am. And I don't know how, because I know by many standards I'm a young guy. I don't know how, except I just know that God has empowered me to do what he's called me to do because I've allowed him to lead me wherever he's called me to go. Amen? Because when I was 20 years old, God opened the door for me to go to Michigan. I felt like it was the right thing, and God led me there, and he empowered me there to do youth ministry for a very long time. And when the youth ministry door closed, and God allowed me at 30 years old to begin to pastor a church, I said, God, I really don't think I can do that. I really don't think I'm equipped to do that. I'm a youth pastor. I'm not a pastor. I can't talk to adults. I want to talk to teenagers. They're way more fun, you know, really. And I'm way too immature. But where the Spirit leads, he empowers. Amen? Where the Spirit leads, in your life, where the Spirit leads you, if you let him lead you, you'll find out his empowerment is there. And some of you may be wondering, where is God? Why don't I see him anymore? Why don't I feel his presence anymore? It could be that you are that there's a place that he's wanting to lead you to go, and you're not going to feel him until you allow him to take you there. And that's why discipleship is waking up every day, saying, Jesus, where are you? And then following him there. Amen? And in verse 32, Jesus disappears. Jesus disappears. And the disciples look at each other. If they realized who it was, and the two guys that were on that journey, on that walk, they looked at each other. The one looked at the other and said, he said, man, that was Jesus. We just spent the whole day walking with Jesus, and we didn't even realize it. And the one guy said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Let me tell you what else discipleship is. Discipleship is moving and allowing God to transform you and move you from a warm body to a burning heart. From a warm body to a burning heart. God, I think one of the greatest things that we have, not just in this church, but in especially Western and Americanized Christianity as a whole, is we need more people with burning hearts. I say that every day. But I'm saying that to myself. Lord, I need more of a burning heart in my life. Amen? And discipleship is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me from being a warm body to being a burning heart. Listen, this is the facts. Christianity without a burning heart becomes cold, dead religion in a hurry. Amen. Amen? Without a burning heart full of passion for the things of God, this just becomes ritual and routine. Amen? I remember talking to my mom a few years back. She was raised Catholic. I know many of you grew up in the Catholic Church as well. And that's fine. But I remember her saying that as a kid, growing to the Catholic Church without that real passion, without a burning heart, without a relationship with Jesus, all the steps, it was really just a ritual and a routine. But going back as a believer who now had Jesus in their heart, now there was actually something there that you could connect to. Amen? See, listen, the problem is not with traditions. The problem is not with the act of traditions. The problem is going through the motions of a tradition without having a burning heart behind it. And just being a warm body walking along the road. Amen? God wants burning hearts. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? God is after burning hearts. God is after your heart to make it a burning one. That's what he desires to do in you and in me and in us. Amen? Warm bodies aren't going to reach the world. We don't just need, listen, do I want to see us grow? Absolutely. I'm casting a vision for us to reach to 200 by Easter. Amen? I believe God's going to help us to do that as we work together and allow ourselves to be Spirit-led and Spirit-sensitive and Spirit-empowered and all of those things. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can do that. But listen, our goal to reach 200. God help us. I don't want to just fill up this place with 200 warm bodies. I'm looking for 200 burning hearts. Amen. We don't want to just fill the place up with a bunch of dead, warm bodies, or else we'll just be another dead, lifeless, godless, no presence of God organization. But God, give us some burning hearts. Make me a burning man. Richard Baxter in the 1600s, a Puritan preacher. He was known to be very sickly in the body, and he didn't really know where if each day was going to be his last. But he was a preacher of the gospel, an evangelist. And Richard Baxter was said to have prayed this amazing prayer one day before he went to deliver a sermon. He said, "Lord, help me to preach as if never to preach again. A dying man to dying men." What who's he saying? Give me a burning heart to preach like it might be my last. Amen? God's looking for a burning heart. Would you stand all over his place this morning? We need burning hearts. I want to say this with all the love and compassion and understanding that I can understand my heart, but hear me too. The truth is, listen to me, and I'm talking to Red Life Church, listen to me. The truth is, we don't have room for many warm bodies because our mission to reach, encourage, and disciple is far too great to just take up space and take resources to warm bodies. We need burning hearts. Amen. And I'm pointing at you, but believe me, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. I'm preaching in the mirror myself today. Amen. We need burning hearts. And because here's the simple truth. And the last scripture I want to talk to you about is and I'm almost done. That's why you're standing. It is impossible, hear me, it is impossible to make disciples without being a disciple. Amen. I cannot make a disciple unless I am a disciple. This discipleship thing, this mission that Jesus gives us, go into the world and make disciples, is really the most genius thing that Jesus ever put on us. Because he understands that if we, for us to fulfill that mission, means that I have to be a disciple. So this journey is not just me on the road telling everybody else and patting them along the back and saying, "You take next steps and I'll just stay here where I'm at and pat you and encourage you along the way." No, friend. I cannot make disciples unless I am a disciple. In 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said this. This was Paul's philosophy. He says, "You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Some translations it says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So Paul puts this on us to say, listen, I want you to follow Jesus and I'll lead the way. I'm not just on the sideline patting you on the back saying, "Go, go, 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 go." I'm out in front of you. I'm further down the journey than maybe you are. And I'm saying, this is the way. He's right over here. Let's go. Come with me. Follow me as I follow Christ. What did Paul understand? He understood, I cannot make a disciple without being a disciple. Amen? I cannot be just a warm body. I've got to have a burning heart that's engaged in this thing. I cannot just go through the motions. I cannot just go through the motions and expect that God is going to bless my dead, lifeless works of religion and that I'm somehow going to fulfill the mission. No, friend, I've got to be engaged myself. And if I'm engaged myself, it will cause others to look. John Wesley, another 1600 preacher, he would have open-air crusades. You're talking without modern technology, without Facebook, and hundreds and thousands would show up to his open-air meetings and the Holy Spirit would move and revivals would break out all over this country and all over England. And he was used mightily of God. And someone once asked John Wesley, he said, "Why do so many people come to your meetings?" And he said, I've set myself on fire, and the people come to watch me burn. That's the kind of movement we want to see. A burning heart that causes others to say, I want to be around that fire too. I want the same burning heart and passion that they have. Amen? And we can say, awesome. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I've got to be a disciple before I can make a disciple. Just bow your heads in this place this morning, just as a way to focus and allow for a moment to get personal between you and the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to answer honestly between you and the Lord. And the question is this: are you a warm body or a burning heart? And that question is not meant to make you feel bad. And it's certainly not meant to condemn or bring any judgment in any shape or way or form on your life. But we sometimes have to ask ourselves a tough question that we may not want to answer so that we can get to the greater place that God has called us to go. And I really feel like the tough question the Lord is asking us is this: are you a warm body or a burning heart? And he only is asking that question because he wants to give you a burning heart. The only way the Lord would confront us with that, the only way the Lord would confront you with that and convict you with that is because his desire is for you to say, just like the disciples said, our hearts are burning within us. My heart is burning within me. The Lord wants to give you a burning heart this morning. The only way we're going to reach the people that you have written down in your list a couple of weeks ago to reach, the only way we're going to break and see this church grow to 200 by Easter and see Brookville and Franklin County just in revival. Listen, do you understand? I want you to understand. Look at me for a moment. You say, well, listen, 200, it's not just about the number. It's not just about that. But do you understand what size of a church 200 people is in a community our size? Our population is about 2,500, give or take the year. That would be 10% of the population. Do you know by many standards that would make us a mega church in this community? It would. You have some churches in larger cities that may run 10, 15,000, but there's 600,000 in their city. They only have 3-4%. You understand what I'm saying? What could happen in this community with 200 burning hearts? Jesus only had 12 and the whole world was turned upside down. See? And the only way we're going to get there is with a burning heart. Amen. Do you want a burning heart this morning? I do. Can we just? I want to invite everyone to come. You don't have to, and nobody's going to think bad about you if you don't. But I want to invite everybody just to come forward for a moment this morning. Come on, let's just crowd around these altars.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.